From the Family Life Podcast Network, this is Married with Benefits. I'm Brian Goins, on a relentless pursuit to help you love the one you're with and discover all the benefits that come with saying, I do. Ladies, I wonder if a Harvard relational wizard assessed your husband, what do you think she'd discover or divine? Don't answer that. But in this session of Married with Benefits, we do have best-selling author and researcher Shanti Feldhahn, and she is continuing to ask and answer the questions that you're thinking about your husband but just aren't sure who to ask. So today in this episode, we're going to ask the question, why is he so touchy? Why does he get so irritated when I offer just a little bit of help or criticism? Now, Shanti, you're married to Jeff. I'm guessing every now and then he gets touchy about something.
He is the best husband ever.
Right. He is a good guy. I've hung out with him. Love the guy.
He's a great guy, but he's a guy.
Right.
And every woman knows what I mean by this, that sometimes their husband just gets kind of touchy about something. You're like, what? Like, what was wrong? What did I say? What did I do? And I mean, just the other day, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago, we were in the middle of a discussion. Mm-hmm. You know those discussions.
Lively.
Yes. And I literally was trying to process through something. And he's like, look, like, I can't say anything. So I'm just going to shut up.
Mm.
I'm like, ah, you know.
Yeah.
So you that's think what I would have written a book about men or something.
Right. Exactly.
That I wouldn't do this.
That
but
you would
I didn't.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which she has. Shanti, of course, has written a number of books. How many books are you up to now?
I haven't added it up. Actually, you're going to laugh, but I haven't. It's probably 15.
15 or so. I know that she's. You probably have heard her from the four. Is it four only series? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, the only series.
Yeah, the only series. And so for women only, for men only, for young women only, for parents only.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can't wait to see what the next one is. I know everybody's asking, like, what's the next only book
going to
be?
One of these days, I'm going to tackle the research for singles only.
Oh, nice.
One of these days.
That'd
yes.
be great. Be looking forward to that. But this one, the idea of being, you know, how do I know, like, that my husband's tells? It's like in poker, you know, it's like, oh, I know that guy's bluffing. So how do I, what's the tells of my husband when, oh, he's being touchy about something? And I think every wife could probably, if we had a call-in show, they go, oh, I know exactly. It's when my husband says this, like, fine, you just do it your way.
Yeah, I heard that one too.
You've heard that one a couple times?
And every wife is nodding because every woman's like, yeah, been there.
Yeah, I was trying to think about what mine would be with Jen, my wife.
I told him earlier that he needed to text Jen and ask
and
her.
Yes, and she has not responded yet. I don't know why. Oh, here we go. There it is. I just got it. When you feel like things aren't getting done and I just get impatient. So
there
it's like,
go.
Why aren't we done with this? Why hasn't this, I asked to do this. Why, you know, why are the kids not done with this? Why don't, you know, and I get impatient. For me, it's like it comes out and I'm generally a pretty patient guy, I think. But I get really like short.
Yeah. And every wife is like, what? I don't get it. Like it was just this, in our minds, it was this little thing. And so here's really the reality of this is that honestly, it feels little to us, but clearly it's not to him or he wouldn't be upset. He wouldn't be irritated. In our minds, he wouldn't be oversensitive.
Ah, that's the word we use.
That's the word. See, this is the word that women privately use amongst themselves. So touchy, so oversensitive.
Yeah.
And the reality is that at least what we found in the research with men, all these different studies, is honestly, is it's minor to us and it's not to them.
Hmm.
Because it's hitting a raw nerve down deep that we women don't know is there.
Well, in the last podcast, we talked about this, how it's like there's a difference of opinion about how – of what this issue is. Like for last time, we talked about sex and how it's a totally different need that women didn't realize.
Yes.
And that they didn't realize that it's not just a physical act. It's really serving an emotional need. And for this, it seems like there's again, another mismatch of the importance of something. Like why would he shouldn't be touchy about that. Like it's really not a big deal. Like I basically just showed him how to, you know, put the dishwasher, all the dishes in right. Like why wouldn't you want to do it the right way? Right?
Whenever I do, Jeff and I do a lot of marriage conferences or, you know, And I use that example sometimes, that exact example mm-hmm. of, okay, so, you know, ladies, that time when, you know, he's done the dishes, you know, after dinner, you're, you know, he's cleaning up and he puts the dishes away and then you come along behind him and put the dishes in the right way. Mm-hmm. Every man in the audience starts going, oh, yeah. And he starts nodding and right. the women are like, what? Mm-hmm. And here's what we don't realize is going on is that our big, strong men look so confident, and on the inside, there is a lot of self-doubt under the surface. We don't know it's there, and it's essentially this deep feeling like I want to be a great husband, but I don't know that I know what I'm doing. And mm-hmm. He's looking for these signals from the people around him, especially his wife, as to whether or not he measures up. Like, he thinks, I don't think I measure up, but if she thinks I do, then I'm okay.
Yeah.
But if she's signaling that I didn't measure up, then now I'm like really in trouble because mm-hmm. this is the woman who knows me the best in the world, you
right.
know? And we think, what is dishes, redoing the dishes, have to do with this? And here's really the bottom line underneath that sort of emotional surface is for us as women, the question in our hearts is kind of it's an am I lovable kind of question. Mm-hmm. Like down deep that mm-hmm. am I lovable? Am I special? You know, am I worthy of being loved for who I am on the inside? And so what we love, the signal we're looking for is that he loves us, you know, that he loves us. He says, I love you. He does these loving things. We don't realize that in the heart of our husband and our son, like this is most men, mm-hmm. not all, you know, statistically, but the vast majority, the question in their hearts is a completely different question. The question that he has isn't, am I lovable, but am I able? You know, am I adequate? It's not, am I worthy of being loved for who I am on the inside? For him, it is, am I any good at what I do on the outside?
Yeah.
That is it. And he's always concerned in the deepest places of his heart that someone's going to figure out he's an imposter, he doesn't know what he's doing. And so it makes this little, what we think of as so minor, it's like, why should that bother? That shouldn't bother you. Like, kind of, I hate to say it, but, you know, since all of the listeners here are women,
right?
We're kind of thinking, dude, grow up. You know, you're so touchy. Like, that shouldn't bother you. Finally, I realized as I started, you know, down this path of listening to the hearts of these men, I'm saying that because it wouldn't bother me. And he's not me. He's wired very differently.
Yeah, which is a whole another great podcast that we got to do on just the wirings and how it's different and where it looks like. And it shows up in this. It shows up in, for us as guys, I know for me, it's like, I want to be shown that I can do things. And if you're all of a sudden you come down and redo something I just did, you're basically saying, whatever you just did wasn't good enough. It wasn't like I would do it, which is the right way. Right?
Right, of course, you know, because there's one right way to load a dishwasher.
Right.
I mean, really, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'm kind of joking, but we as women, we kind of have to confront that a lot of us actually think there is one right way. Mm-hmm. Like even now, I can guarantee you some of the women listening are like, and?
Right. You know, like, yeah, what are you saying?
Course,
what's your point?
Of course there is.
There is,
you know,
one right
way.
The silverware goes up.
Yeah,
right?
And this is one of these things that we as women have to confront, something that we didn't even know was there. We didn't know that with everything we're doing and everything that we're saying, every interaction with him, we are either because it's not because of us, it's because of him and this question and this insecurity on the inside. We are either signaling, yes, you measure up, or no, you don't.
Hmm.
One of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we love our husbands. We care about them. We don't want to trigger that feeling. And I'll give you a perfect example that we heard from one of the guys as we were doing this original research, you know, 13, 14 years ago with a bunch of men. He had this emotional explanation for it. He said, it's like when I was a little boy. And he's this like, he's a CEO kind mm-hmm. of guy. Like he's a strong, confident,
right,
you know, kind
right.
of guy. He said, but in my mind, I'm always taken back to being this little kindergartner, you know, 5 years old or maybe 6 years old, you know, back in the day when you used to, in craft class, you used to make ashtrays.
Right, right.
Anybody who's under 30 is like, what?
Yeah.
You know, but, you know.
Ashtrays.
We used to make ashtrays back in the day. And now it's like, you know, pen holders.
It's so hilarious that, as a culture, we were like, hey, let's our kids make ashtrays.
Like, you know? Everybody did it.
Everybody did it.
Yeah.
We're encouraging lung cancer. That's what we
did 30 years ago. Yes, we did. And because, you know, you're making your ashtrays and you're a little five-year-old boy, he said, it's like, you know, that image of me as a five-year-old boy coming home with this ashtray and it's all wonky on one side and the coloring is all weird. And, you know, you hold it up to your mom and you are just thrilled when your mom goes, oh, this is awesome, buddy. Great job. And you don't want her to go, oh, but it's all wonky on one side.
Right.
Like, as a mom, you would never do that. Mm. And this guy says, you don't realize we're still those little boys inside.
Wow. We are. I hate to admit it, but we never like to be proven that we don't know what we're doing, even though we know it's true. And we definitely don't want our wives to point it out. I remember Jen one time, you know, she comes from a home where her dad was a general contractor. Like, he built homes. So if it broke in Jen's house growing up, he fixed it.
I gotcha.
And he could fix anything. Didn't matter. So when she married me, the expectation was, well, every guy should be able to fix anything.
It's part of the chromosome.
And then it didn't take her long to realize that getting it fixed with a screwdriver or a hammer, it's probably not going to be done. And I remember one time
how did that make you feel?
Oh, well, only when it shows up in front of other people.
Mm,
like, for me, it's not like she knows it. I kind of know it. And all I want her to know is that I'm going to try and that I'm working on it. Like, for me, it's that. That's the thing. It's like, I really do want to learn. I just don't know. My brother-in-law, he's a welder. So I've got a welder and a general contractor.
Oh, my.
These are men that their hands are hardened, calloused. They know how to work with tools, all of that kind of stuff. And we were at a dinner party, and she was talking to some friends, and I was sitting right there, and she was talking about something that I think my brother-in-law had made, and made some comment about hands. So she just pulled my hand out and said, "Look at his hands; they're so soft."
Oh.
And I just died inside, because she wasn't meaning it bad to me. It was just like there's just two different guys. My brother-in-law is a welder; he works with metal. He gets hands burned all the time. He's probably burned his fingerprints off by now. I am a writer. I'm an author. I'm a speaker. You know, we're two different guys. Yeah, of course my hands aren't going to be as hard as his, right? But I don't want anyone else knowing that. And there's this latent insecurity that comes out, and especially when it's in front of others. So that's why, I mean, I got touchy. I got quiet.
Yeah. And that's the tell.
Yeah.
For a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what's interesting actually is that the thing that a man most wants and needs as a result of this doubt, as a result of this little boy worried that his ashtray isn't going to be good enough, you know, that inside of him, what I heard from all these men, saw it on the surveys, is that they most need to know that their wife, the most important person in his life, that she appreciates him. That she does believe in him, that she does respect him, she does admire him, she does trust him. Like, all of those things that say you're good at what you do on the outside.
Right.
And if he doesn't feel that way, whether it's sort of systemically or just in that moment, what we found is that there's usually one or both of two responses. The guy gets angry or he withdraws or both. Right? Like, and that's a signal of a guy feeling this sense of total, complete inadequacy. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize as a woman that that is his most painful feeling, that truly is like, just kill me now. This is horrible. And none of us as wives want our men to feel that way.
No.
I mean, we care about our husbands. We just think, you know, we kind of have this, it's just this little minor thing and, you know, he needs to get over it.
Yeah. What's the big deal? So men feel that insecurity when it comes to competence about certain issues or doing something the right way. Do you feel like there's the same similar feeling that women would have about an insecurity? Because what I don't hear you saying is like, well, when do women get touchy to know that, hey, this is how men feel here is how we feel over here.
Well, you know, imagine your husband saying, so, you know, honey, why are you getting so angry? I just said you needed to lose 10 pounds.
Ooh. Some, yeah.
I mean.
That's under the podcast, things husbands should never say to their
wives. Yes, really. And seriously, there's so many men who are like, but of course I think she's beautiful. And I did was tell her she needs to lose 10 pounds.
Right.
I mean, you know, why is that making
it's
you so upset?
It's great to work out. You should work out every now and
then. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And that's an example of, because it's our nerve, our question, am I beautiful? Mm. Right? We really don't believe that. I was talking to my husband. He was talking about this old, you know, band from, I think, Australia called The Seekers, you know, back in the day. And he was talking about how they were huge. They were actually bigger than the Beatles. They had hundreds of thousands of people in the 60s coming to their concerts. Mm. Like, I can't even picture 200,000 people at a concert.
Right.
So, you know, the most popular band on the planet, basically. They broke up 6 years later because the lead singer, this woman, who was adorable, was convinced she was overweight and was convinced that she didn't belong on stage and was convinced that, you know, she just wasn't enough.
And you had 100,000 people cheering.
200,000
people.
200,000 people at a concert.
For you, approving
at one concert.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of men all over the world would be like, man, you know, I wish she was my wife or, you know, whatever. And yet she didn't see herself that way. We as women, and that's the thing, that's our thing, is our question is somebody going to love me? Mm. Does he really love me? Does my husband really love me? And so when he pulls away during an argument, I mean— Ladies, think about how you feel when you're in the middle of one of those discussions over breakfast and it's emotional and he's upset with you and, you know, you both kind of emotional and he's like, I got to go to work. And he gets in the car and drives away. What happens in your heart? Is it, oh, it's just minor. It's no big deal.
Right.
Or is there's this, like, are we okay kind of feeling? And, you know, most women say statistically, it's like this. It's arisen into this sort of conscious thing that's there in your heart, kind of going, you know, nothing's right with the world until that's resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't want your husband to go, it's just get over it. Like, why are you clingy? Why are you would want to be reassured. I love you and I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say those things. And look, what you want is for before he leaves, when he's upset, to say, look, I'm angry, I need space, but listen, we're okay. We'll talk about this when I get back from work. Whew, why is that such a big relief? It's because he's reassured you in your area of insecurity.
Yeah.
And with a guy, here's how you reassure him in his area of insecurity. When he does the dishes and they're all, you know, in different spots than you would do it.
Right.
That you say, oh, thanks so much, honey, for doing the dishes. Oh, I really appreciate it. While I was, you know, being with the kids. Really, you're awesome. And absolutely nothing about what you wish he would have changed.
Even though inside you're dying, like you're going, those bowls will never get clean.
Yeah.
Like facing that way, it's not going to happen. Like the cereal that's stuck on there, I'm going to have to be cleaning
that off.
I'm going to
have to chip it off.
Right, well, chip it off.
And there are some women, and I promise you there are women listen to this because I used to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Was this your issue? Did you always change the dish?
This was total. Well, it wasn't the dish. Actually, Jeff is more of a neat person than I am. So this particular one wasn't it, but these kinds of issues where if I'm listening to this as a woman, there are some women who are getting their kind of head wag on and who are like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't say anything. Like, what? I have no rights here.
Right.
Like, what? He just needs to get over it. Okay. So I started asking guys, like, come on, like if the dishes do have to get done correctly, what do we do? And I heard consistently two things from the guys.
Okay.
About what some of them actually called it this, and then, you know, I started looking into it. We call it the next day rule.
Hmm.
There's two.
The next day rule.
The next day rule. There's two parts to the next day rule. And ladies, honestly, if you will start thinking this through and watching for opportunities for this. Honestly, this one thing can be a huge improvement in your marriage because you avoid the touchiness. The first part of the next day rule is you ask yourself, okay, here's this thing that I want to change. I want to come along behind him, or I want to question his judgment about something, you know, right in the moment. Ask yourself, is this thing going to matter the next day? If it's going to matter enough that it may be worth hurting your husband's feelings,
right,
then mention it, right? If it's not going to matter enough that it's not worth having that kind of soul-shredding feeling,
right,
then maybe don't mention it. Like, you know, yeah, the kids may have been taken out in the snow without their gloves,
yeah.
You know, and he's all excited because he's been outside playing snowballs with the kids and being a great dad. And is it worth it to say, why did you not put gloves on them?
Right.
Is it worth it knowing that he's high from his triumph of being a great dad out there playing snowballs with the kids? Is it worth it to kind of sink that feeling? Okay. And if it is, then mention it. If it's not, then not. Like, ah, honey, thanks for dressing them for school, but you know what? You didn't realize that there's a special uniform that they're supposed to wear today. They're supposed to each have a blue shirt on because they're going to have class pictures.
Right,
you know,
right.
You might have forgotten.
Because guy's just feeling like, it's a miracle I got him dressed.
Right. Well, I don't know if he's feeling that way.
Right.
But
I would at that point.
Okay. So, but that's an example where that's worth it. Like, you don't want your kids to be the only ones who show up in normal wear when they're all supposed to wear blue t-shirts or whatever.
Is it worth it? That's a great question.
Is it worth it? That's the first thing you're supposed to ask. Next day rule. Is it going to matter the next day?
Okay.
Worth it to hurt his feelings. Second part of the next day rule is, if possible, mention it the next day. If it's important enough that it's going to matter and it's not super time sensitive like the blue shirts for the kids going to school that minute, then mention it the next day. Like, you know, honey, thank you so much again for doing the dishes. That was awesome. You know, I'm so glad. And you know what? I thought you'd want to know. I looked at how the water jets hit the dishes, and they actually hit it from the right instead of from below or whatever it is you've discovered. And so I thought you'd want to know.
And if you could use the word schematic, I pulled out the schematic for the jets on the dishwasher, because that would get him, oh, really? I haven't looked at the schematics, but I kind of want to. If you could use that word anytime, schematic, you got your guy's
along
attention.
With quantum physics.
Yes,
or
quantum.
Anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. The numbers prove.
Right, right.
Whatever it is.
Anything like if I'm not knowing, I want to be in the know now. So, oh, the jets point that way. That's interesting.
But you have given him his triumph.
Yes.
And do you agree that, because a lot of women are sitting here listening, sounding, this sounds kind of patronizing, you know, to the guy, you know, that he's a little kid with an ashtray, that, you know, I need to give him his triumph. You know, some women are thinking, come on.
Yeah.
You know, my husband's more secure than that.
Exactly. He's what not.
Really?
He's not. I mean, we're really, it's amazing how easily offended I can be. I was trying to think of a couple of examples. I mean, just the one even about soft hands. The truth is, I don't work with my hands. And yet, that comment, because here's what I'm doing. I'm projecting myself in the eyes of the people that are in that room, whether it's in front of my kids or whether it's in front of friends. And it's like, I want them to think of me in a certain way. Even if it's not true, I don't want to be diminished in anybody else's eyes.
Especially by your wife,
yes,
who knows you best.
Yes. And so, and for Jen, it wasn't a big deal because she was just telling the truth. And my wife is high justice, high truth teller, and it's great. I love that about her. But she just didn't think of it in terms of, what's this doing to my husband's heart? And so, yeah, we are, I said some other time that a mentor friend of mine said that, hey, as men, I always feel insecure, not just insecure, but desperately insecure. And we don't come across that way. We don't project that. But inside, when a comment is made, here's one example that I've seen a lot with couples, is that a guy's telling a story and he's fabricating some of the details, right? he's trying to build it up, you know, and make this. I mean, let's not let the truth get in the way of a great story. As guys, that's kind of our mantra.
I think Tony Campolo once said, it should have happened that way.
Exactly.
It should have happened that
and
way.
And you see the wife going, no, it wasn't four people there. There were three people there. No, 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 it wasn't a right turn.
Oh,
it was
my.
A left turn. And the guy's sitting there feeling like an idiot.
Oh.
And it's true. It's true, but is it spoken in love? Probably not, because she's not caring about what's going on in his heart. And at some point, the guy just goes, why don't you just tell the story?
Yeah. Well, and that's that nothing I do is ever good enough for you, mm-hmm. right? So many of us as women have heard that phrase and had no idea what the guy was talking about, mm-hmm. no idea what our husband was talking about, right? Like, because we don't think of it that way. We don't realize you guys do.
Yeah.
We don't realize that for you, again, it is... Ladies, get this into your heads, into your hearts. This is something I've had to wrestle with for years. When you look at that big, strong husband, next time you look at that big, strong husband, next time you talk to him, recognize that inside he is thinking, am I any good at what I do on the outside? I don't think I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I am desperately looking to the people around me, even though I don't look like it, I'm looking all so confident, but I am looking to the people around me for signals as to the answer to that question. If the heart cry of a woman is, am I lovable? The heart cry of a man is, do I measure up?
Yeah.
And he really sincerely doubts it. And honestly, I mean, let's just, if we can get all theological for a second, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, honestly, if it traces back to the curse, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at how God said, Adam, here is what life is going to feel like for you. You're always going to feel like you are toiling the ground by the sweat of your brow, and you're never going to get there.
Right.
Like, you're going to always feel like the thorns and the thistles are rising up mm-hmm. against you. No matter what you do, you're never going to feel like you're going to get there. Mm. And that is the heart of our big, strong man. There is a tenderness inside, a vulnerability, a self-doubt. And what a precious opportunity we as women have to steward that self-doubt and speak to it and build him up in the same way that, you know, once he knows we have our self-doubt, our vulnerability, we want him to tenderly steward that and yeah. speak to that and reassure that as well.
I was just thinking about this because both of us have 17-year-old daughters.
Yes.
Morgan and Brantley. And I was just thinking, imagine if... You know, I don't know if your daughter went to prom last year.
She did.
Yeah. So my daughter went to prom. And of course, you know, she can't, and just stunning, you know, beautiful. And I'm not just saying that because I'm her dad, but she was, came out in a great dress, done makeup and hair all up and just looking great. And just imagine, right as the boy is about to pick her up, if you look at your little daughter and you say, huh, why'd you choose that makeup?
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Be, what is she thinking the rest of the night?
Yeah. Why'd you put the dishes in that way?
That's what we're doing.
Why didn't you put the gloves on when you're out mm-hmm. playing in the snow?
Yeah.
And we as women would never have seen it that
right.
way. And if there's any guys like secretly listening into this,
mm-hmm.
realize we're not trying to kill your heart. Like, we have
right.
no idea how much we're killing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a great analogy. And mm-hmm. What a beautiful picture of how much you build your daughter up when you mm-hmm. look at her and go, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. You are so beautiful inside and out. You are
right.
so beautiful. And the affirmation to her tender little heart. And we have that same opportunity yeah. with our men.
So we've talked about a number of tells, you know, and just recount them real quickly, that when your husband is saying things like maybe pulling away and he's getting short with you and he just walks out the door. So I like that idea of anger being, he's going to respond. If you've hurt his heart in this way, if you've heard that tapped into that insecurity, the tell will be there might be some anger that they get shown, either kind of lashing out in a short way, or someone who's called depression, anger turned inward. And that's what I do. I just withdraw.
Yeah.
I just move away. So if all of a sudden your husband suddenly withdraws from you, maybe you think back, what did I just say or what did I just do?
Yeah.
And check that through. Or if he just gets real short with you,
yeah.
makes some rude comment.
Or the nothing I do
yeah.
is ever good enough.
Yeah, if he says nothing I do is ever good enough, or, you know, why do you keep correcting me?
Yeah, that's another good one. Absolutely.
You know, those little phrases that you just think to yourself, okay, I'm tapping into the insecurity nerve. And just picture yourself if your husband had said something about your beauty or compared yourself to other women or any of those things where you feel like, oh, he doesn't really love me, or puts your love or being cherished in any kind of question, and how you would feel, it's like you'd want that to be corrected.
Yeah.
You'd want to be reassured. So can you give us any practical things? How do I reassure my husband? If I have transgressed over that insecurity line or tapped into that nerve, what do I do to bring him back?
So the most important thing by far we have found, and when I say we have found, we actually purposely studied this in order to learn, what is it that builds your husband up in the same way that I love you, mm-hmm. or you're so beautiful builds you up? And believe it or not, it's saying thank you.
Hmm.
It is looking at what he did, the dishes, the playing in the yard with the kids, the whatever the thing is that he did on the outside, looking at it and saying, thank you for doing that. Thanks for taking the kids out. It's little things like, thanks for putting gas in my car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's essentially saying, I'm looking at what you did on the outside. I noticed it.
Yeah.
And it was good. And I appreciate it. And that fills a man up in every way that he needs to be filled.
And I think what you said there, I noticed it. Because I think as women, you know, the feeling of like little daughters when they run out in their dress and they want daddy to see it. And it's like, why? Because I want my daddy to notice that I'm beautiful.
Absolutely.
And I want a daddy to notice that I dressed up. And for guys, it's like that ashtray illustration. They want their parents to notice they did something. They accomplished something. And so I know for me, I do try to fix things around the house. I'm not always successful. But more than anything, I want Jen to give me the opportunity to try. So rather than her just saying, listen, Brian, you're not going to fix that toilet. Let's just call a plumber. She's probably right. But if I want to try it, nothing blows wind into my sails when Jen goes, hey, go for it. Yeah, try it out. And if it doesn't work, then we'll call. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I have the freedom now to try. And then I can come. I know I'm a big enough boy to go, okay, I tried, I failed, I didn't do it, I need help. But I'd rather me figure that out than her go, you can't do it.
Yeah.
I know you. You're going to fail miserably.
And see, even you saying that, the women listening are going, what? That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, because of course we don't think of it that way as saying, look, let's just call a plumber. And we have to be honest with ourselves, ladies. Let's just be really honest that honestly, that is what's back there in our mind. Well, obviously he's not going to be able to mm-hmm. do it right. So therefore, let's just call a plumber.
Right.
Or it'll be too much trouble if he tries to do it.
Or it's going to take too much time.
Or it's going to take too much time. And we don't realize that all of those assumptions pale in comparison to his need mm-hmm. to try to figure out and show that I'm good at what I do. And that's actually a true and measurable, in some cases on our surveys, a true measurable emotional need. Mm-hmm. It's not just your husband's quirk.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's really helpful.
Well, I mean, this is a whole nother podcast. This mm-hmm. whole subject of, you know, why does my husband say, did you notice?
Yeah.
You know, did you notice I did the lawn? Mm-hmm. Did you notice? It's all because of this. We got to do a whole nother podcast on this at
right.
some point.
Yeah. Did you notice? That'd be a great one. Because we do that. We do that all the time. And there is that latent need. And I like how you said it, Shanti, where you're talking about the fact that both of us have insecurities. And unfortunately, because we're fallen human beings and because that we typically see everything through our own lenses, we don't even realize it when we tap that nerve. And so if you can pick up on the tells now, we've kind of given you a few of the, you know, the poker tells of what happens when your husband does this or says this, we've probably tripped that nerve without even realizing it. And so to come back and reassure, to say thank you, to notice, to let him try. Anything else you'd add to that before we close up?
Well, and it's the key, honestly, is that you're going to need to learn, use it as a learning tool. Mm. It's you can come back and try to say, I'm sorry. I mean, because that's a big deal, honestly, mm-hmm. is if you realize you really have hurt his feelings, it's really important to say, I'm sorry. I'm learning, you
right.
know, have grace with me while I'm trying to learn, you mm-hmm. know, how to avoid sending this signal. But the better thing is to learn, in addition to that, is to look back and go, okay, what was it specifically that tripped that nerve? Mm-hmm. What was it that happened in the last 5 minutes? Because sometimes it's not really obvious. And go, oh my goodness, I didn't even see that he was just looking for a pat on the back. He was just looking for appreciation. He had the ashtray mm-hmm. up, you know, for my inspection. I just, dang it. And mm-hmm. and look back and figure out what that was and hopefully not do that again.
Yeah.
And practice. And really, honestly, it's a skill. It's a mm-hmm. habit that you will build. And let me tell you, it will yield amazing dividends for your marriage. I can tell you that from personal experience because I was one of the worst offenders in this area. And it took me a couple of years of trying and failing and trying and getting a little better and failing and trying. And let me tell you, we have an amazing marriage today. And some of it is Jeff was so patient while I was learning that. And honestly, ladies, I can tell you that work is worth it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And it doesn't happen overnight. And you're working on a blind spot. And same thing as with us. I know a lot of ladies are probably listening to this going, okay, well, when are you going to talk to my husbands? Well, that's a different podcast. Ladies, thanks so much for listening. And guys, we know you're listening too. And so if you want more great audio, please go to familylife.com/podcast. And you're going to find a lot of other great shows to help you out. And by the way, we wanted to also let you know that this podcast is listener supported. And so we appreciate many gifts from people just like yourself. And if you're interested in donating today, you can do that there at familylife.com. Just click the word donate. I'd love to give a special thanks to our audio producer, CJ3, and our project coordinator, Paige Johnson, for helping to pull this off. We couldn't do it without their help. Look forward to joining you next time when we're going to tackle a pretty sensitive question. How could my good guy husband be tempted by porn? I'm Brian Goins. This has been Married with Benefits, helping you love the one you're with. Thanks for listening.